T-minus 13. That's the time, 13 months remaining before 2012's general election. We're discussing candidates, issues, and strategies with two Iowa political activists, Democrat Jerry Crawford and Republican Mike Mahaffey, on this edition of Iowa Press.
Funding for Iowa Press was provided by Friends, the Iowa Public Television Foundation, the Iowa Bankers Association for personal, business, and commercial needs. Iowa banks help Iowans reach their financial goals. For decades, Iowa Press has brought you policymakers and decision makers from across Iowa and beyond. Now celebrating 41 years of broadcast excellence on statewide Iowa Public Television. This is the Friday, September 23 edition of Iowa Press. Here is Dean Borg.
New dynamics are affecting Iowa politics and coming elections. The General Assembly's 150 senators and representatives are now coming from newly drawn districts. Same for Iowa's representatives to Congress. In fact, there are only four newly drawn congressional districts this time, one less than the current delegation. And in Linn County now, in about 6 weeks, a special election will be determining whether or not Iowa Senate Democrats hold their one-seat majority, splitting control of Iowa's legislature with a House majority. Republicans there and Republican presidential candidates seem to be adjusting now strategies for using the Iowa caucuses for nabbing the GOP's nomination. Well, that's the discussion menu we're planning for our conversation with political activists Jerry Crawford and Mike Mahaffey today. Mr. Crawford has experience chairing Polk County Democrats and advising presidential candidates. And Montezuma Republican Mike Mahaffey is known for chairing his party's state central committee and running for Congress. Gentlemen, welcome back to Iowa Press.
Good
always
to be with you.
A lively discussion when you're here. And across the Iowa Press table, Associated Press senior political writer Mike Glover and Radio Iowa News director Kay Henderson.
Mr. Crawford, let's start with you. Dean mentioned it. The election is 13 months away, but we're a lot closer to that special election up in the Cedar Rapids area. It will decide who controls the Senate. Handicap that election for me.
You know, I have to be honest. When the week started, I didn't feel very good about it. But as we sit here today, I feel terrific about it. Things have really, it's been a great week for the Democrats in that special election. First of all, I didn't think they could get Liz Mathis to run. They did, and she's going to be an extraordinarily strong candidate. She's a household name, having been a very popular news anchor in that community, having grown up on a farm near there, now working for a nonprofit agency. We have a terrific candidate, and we have an organization and an effort that the Iowa Democratic Party under Sue Dvorsky will put on that will be very strong. The Republicans didn't get who they wanted as their candidate. The governor and the legislative leaders all wanted the same candidate. She's gone. Cindy Golding is kind of a curious choice in a number of ways, not the least of which is she's lost a prior legislative race in this area. And secondly, she was an Ed Fallon for governor contributor, which just strikes me as a bit odd if you want to gather favor in a rural part of that district.
Your take on that race?
I think it'll be a very interesting race. I think the Democrats did choose well in choosing Liz Mathis. I think they did fine. Look, the bottom line is this. That state Senate race is probably going to be decided. There's going to be a lot of money put into
right.
there by traditional marriage groups and pro-gay marriage groups. But I think the economy probably is still the overriding issue that concerns people. And I think that favors the Republicans.
Let's go there, Mr. Mahaffey, if
right.
we could. What kind of an effort are Republicans going to put into that race? How much will be spent on it? How much organizational effort?
It'll be huge on both sides. I mean, this is really between now and November 8th, I would not want to be a resident of that state Senate district.
Why
because,
is that?
Well, because they're just going to be inundated, to be quite honest with you. They're going to have to turn the phones off. There's going to be a tremendous amount of money, probably $250,000 at least on each side. But again, I think the bottom line is that it'll be the economy that's going to determine that, and I think that favors the Republicans.
Mr. Crawford, same question to you. What kind of effort will Democrats put into this race? What can Liz Mathis expect in terms of support from the party, from the state organization?
Well, first of all, special elections are won by two things. They're won by candidate selection,
right,
and they're won by organization. Candidate selection, advantage Democrats. Organization, this will be, as Mike says, this is going to be ground zero from an organizational side effort from both sides, and Liz Mathis will have absolutely everything she needs from the top to the bottom. Congressional help, state party help, local help, activist help. We will not be out-organized in this race.
Well, let's talk about what this race means in terms of voter attitudes. There are a lot of people who are saying this is a referendum on President Obama. There are a lot of people who are saying this is a referendum on the economy. As you mentioned, there will be groups that will try to make this a referendum on gay marriage. Mr. Crawford, what will this be a referendum on?
I think it will be a referendum on Liz Mathis and Cindy Golding and which of them seems more authentic and capable of going to Des Moines and working to make sure that Iowans have good jobs to support their families. I don't think it's going to get caught up in all those other things. First of all, I'm sure the candidates will do their best to keep that from happening.
Well, for the benefit
of... If I were a Democrat, I would certainly keep that from happening, and it being a referendum on President Obama, because I think if that's the case, the Democrats lose.
Well, this district is the city of Marion and then a bunch of small towns,
yes,
and rural areas in sort of the northern and western parts of Linn County. As someone who lives sort of near there...
East Central Iowa.
What does that district say about voter attitudes?
Well,
is it different from if it was a truly urban district?
It's a mixture. And my dear friend, the late Mary Lundby, represented. She was from Marion. A lot of independents. Kay, I think 38-39% of the registered voters are independents. So you're going to have to appeal to those people. It's a mixture of urban and rural. There's a slight registration edge between Republicans and Democrats to Republicans, but a very competitive district.
How would you compare or contrast this with what happened in Wisconsin, Mr. Crawford?
Well, I don't think you have the same level of vitriol at all. I certainly know nothing about Liz Mathis that indicates that she'd engage in that kind of a public display of hostility, and I don't have any reason to think Cindy Golding would either. So I think that's a bad comparison.
Well, how do you resist the temptation on the part of people outside of that district to make it a race that is about the outside of the district rather than what is inside the district?
Well, that I don't know if you resist it entirely, but I think what people are focused on at the present time, first and foremost, is the economy. And because of that, again, I think that does favor the Republican.
I go back to the old slogan, all politics is local. Jerry Crawford, you seem to be saying that all politics is local, and it, in this case, candidate selection was important. People are going to be voting for high-profile name recognition. Mr. Mahaffey, you seem to be saying, no, it's going to be, the economy will determine that. That's what I wrote down about you saying. So you're saying, in this case, it's not going to be local.
Well, it will be local to some extent, and I give the Democrats credit. Liz Mathis is a very good candidate. But sometimes there's things that overtake even local elections. People are very concerned right now. There is a lot of anxiety across this nation, particularly among what I would call middle-class voters, and there are a lot of those voters in this state Senate district. And I just think that the trend at the present time is not particularly favorable to the Democrats. And because of that, if that's where the focus is and that's where people base their vote on, then I think the Republicans have a good chance to pick up that Senate seat.
Mr. Crawford, this whole election that we're talking about right now came about because Governor Branstad picked Swati Dhanakar to go on the Iowa Utilities Board. In effect, Governor Branstad put the state Senate in play. Is he interfering too much in legislative business?
You know, what amuses me, Mike, is that whenever my side does that, we are quite taken with ourselves for our cleverness. And whenever the other side does it, we're supposed to think that it's a dastardly deed. Look, it was political, but it was well played. It's not as if he picked somebody that isn't qualified to be on the Iowa Utilities Board. It's not as if he didn't pick someone who, frankly, had some relationships in the state Senate and her own caucus that she didn't enjoy, and the reverse was also true. So perfectly within his right to do what he did. I am surprised they didn't have it a little more dialed in and a little more nailed down before the Swati Dandekar announcement was made with a candidate they knew that they could get people energetic about. I mean,
That was the second question I had. We spoke with Sue Dvorsky at Harkin Steak Fry, and she said she was shocked that it wasn't announcement one day of resignation, announcement next day of election date, announcement next day of this is our candidate.
Also known in some circles as the Vilsack model. Back to my point about both sides are capable of doing exactly this. Yeah, that's right. And they didn't even get the candidate they thought they were going to get. I mean, look, I don't know anything bad about Cindy Golding at all. But the fact that she's an organic farmer doesn't energize the Iowa Farm Bureau necessarily. And that's right. They're a big part of this district.
Well, but she has a good relationship with the Iowa Farm Bureau. I think she's a fine candidate. Look, there were three people that wanted to be the candidate.
Right.
And so the Republicans had a choice to make. I think it was more incumbent upon the Democrats to do what they did and not have it go to pick their candidate. And they particularly wanted to have Liz Mathis because of her TV personality, the fact that she's been around a long time. It shows you that they really knew that they had to get somebody like this to really even have a chance in this district under the present circumstances.
And I'd like, Mr. Mahaffey, to direct this question to you because it's a Republican question. It's something I hear a lot about this governor. It's said that this governor, Terry Branstad, is a different Terry Branstad than the previous Terry Branstad when he was governor. He's more confrontational. He's more divisive. He's forcing issues on the legislature. The former governor was kind of a deal cutter. He made deals everywhere. A lot of people suggest that that means that he's going to be a one-term governor and he's grooming Kim Reynolds to be Iowa's first woman governor. What do you hear about that?
I think that he is grooming Kim Reynolds to run for governor so that she could be the first woman elected governor in the state of Iowa. I am not so sure that he is a one-term governor. I have known Terry Branstad for over 40 years. We were in college Republicans at the University of Iowa together. If there's anything that he enjoys more than the give and take of politics and being governor, I really don't know. Well, he loves his wife and his family, I know. But if there's anything he enjoys more than what he's doing now, I don't know what that is.
Mr. Crawford?
Well, I was chuckling when the inference was made that Governor Branstad would be a one-term governor. I think he loves doing what he's doing, and I would be surprised if he didn't seek a second term.
What Democrat is positioning him or herself to challenge Terry Branstad?
You know, I think a lot of people are thinking about it. I've talked with some people that are thinking about it. I think it's up to them in their own time to make their interests known. But I think all of us should be focused on what we can do to make the state stronger. And there's plenty of time for the political life of the governorship later.
There may be an election forthcoming in the Iowa Senate. The interesting thing about that meeting that Democrats in Linn County had this week was that Senator Bill Dix was in the room. He is a person who would like to be Senate Republican leader. The current person who holds that title was not in the room.
Paul McKinley.
Is there something happening in the Senate Republican caucus, Mr. Hatton?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, Paul McKinley was under a lot of pressure before the last election, but picked up six Senate seats. That I think that helped him solidify his position. Look, Bill Dix, I think, is more of the political operative, if you will, among the two of those. But Paul McKinley is still getting around. At this point, I don't anticipate that there's some kind of challenge there. But I'm not sure Paul McKinley will be the leader of the Republican senators for that much longer period of time. But I think that'll be his choice.
Jerry? Mike needs to get out more.
Yeah.
I've talked with highly placed Republicans just this week who have indicated to me it's a done deal. Senator Dix is going to challenge Senator McKinley for the Senate leadership position. The issue isn't whether he gained six seats last time. The issue is how he could have failed to gain the majority in such an opportunity. And I think Dix will be the next Senate leader, regardless of majority-minority.
Mr. Mahaffey, talking about leadership, let's go to the other side of the aisle. But I'd ask you about what is this candidate selection and the managing of getting a candidate fielded after the surprise appointment of Swati Dandekar. What does it say about Mike Gronstahl's leadership coming in and maybe even pulling a coup?
Well, it says that the Democrats really knew that they were faced with a difficult proposition, and they needed to get somebody who could start in a shortened election time between now and November 8th, who had some name recognition. Well, Liz Mathis has that name recognition. I mean, the fact of the matter is, this is ground zero. This is very important. It's not only important in terms of this race, it's also important in terms of the race that Senator Mike Gronstal is going to have in 2012 in his state Senate district, which will be another hugely expensive race.
It's an example, Dean, of why there's no elected official in the state of Iowa that I have greater respect for than Mike Gronstal. He's great for our state, he's great for Council Bluffs, and he's great for my party.
Mr. Crawford, let's start with you. There are a couple of congressional elections, and only a couple, that are interesting in this coming election cycle. One of them is here in central Iowa, where you have an incumbent Republican, Tom Latham, and an incumbent Democrat, Leonard Boswell, a match together in the same district with roughly even voter registration. Handicap that race for me.
Boy, it's a tough race from either side. You know, I think obviously Tom Latham knows he can't take Leonard Boswell for granted,
right?
Because there's a very large graveyard of people who made that mistake. Leonard always does better than people expect him to do. He always runs very strongly outside of Polk County, as well as doing a good job inside Polk County. And Latham, conversely, partly through his relationship with the Speaker, is going to have nearly unlimited financial resources, and he's an attractive candidate. So I think this is going to be a real 15-round heavyweight
fight. Mr. Mahaffey, take a look at that same race. Both of them are well-connected with the leadership of their party.
I think they both have plenty of money. I think Congressman Latham will probably have more money. The thing that favors Congressman Latham is just the timing of this. If you had President Obama at 55 to 56, 7% approval rating, and the economy was in better shape, I think that would be it's still going to be a close race. But I think you have to favor, under the present circumstances, you're going to have to favor Tom Latham. They're both going to have plenty of money. They're both experienced politicians. With that, with all things being equal, I think it favors Latham because of the timing.
And let's go west. Congressman Steve King faces a challenge from Democrat Kristi Vilsack, a former first lady. The registration in that district is overwhelmingly Republican. Does she have a shot?
I don't see where her sense of place in that district is. She now lives in Ames, which is probably more favorable territory for her. But I think the vast majority of that district is going to be difficult for her. One of the things about that district is one of the most profoundly pro-life congressional districts in America. Catholic, Lutheran, Christian Reformed, the people up there, pro-life is in their DNA, and I think that creates a problem for Mrs. Vilsack.
Mr. Crawford, I think that Kristi Vilsack could probably get elected to the Ames City Council pretty easily. Can she get elected to that congressional district? Make the case for Kristi Vilsack in a heavily rural, overwhelmingly Republican district.
Well, you can call it overwhelmingly Republican, but it's not the overwhelmingly Republican district that Steve King has been used to and been able to take for granted.
Why? This because it's redistricted?
Yeah, exactly. And this is a district. The new congressional district is a district that Tom Vilsack carried both times when he ran for governor. Tom Harkin has carried this new congressional district. You know, that's not exactly a right-wing, pro-life kind of candidate. The thing that makes Kristi Vilsack unique at exactly the right time is that she's not a partisan. What she is one of the best listeners I've ever known, and she's one of the best storytellers I've ever known. And when she goes to one community, she's able to relate in a very conversational style what she learned at another community.
But go back to redistricting. What has been brought into that district now? Changes the composition?
The district goes more east in the northern part of the state, and it goes less south in the western part of the state. And it's a better district for Democrats, definitely better, than it was before redistricting.
But I guess the other thing is, though, I think you'd almost have to have a perfect storm for Mrs. Vilsack to win in that district. And it's not going to be a perfect storm for the Democrats in the year 2012. The registration isn't as much as it used to be, but it's still something like 40,000.
Advantage for the Republicans.
Right. If 2012 ends up being a very good Democratic year, which I do not believe it will be, she would have a chance. Absent that, I just don't see that happening.
Let's talk about
Jerry had a comment here.
I just wanted to say, I don't think that this is going to be a Democratic or a Republican congressional year. I think it's going to be an anti-incumbent congressional year. Recent polling nationwide shows that only 33% of voters think their own member of Congress should be reelected. This is a tough time for somebody like Steve King, who has Iowa's highest unfavorability rating of any member of our congressional delegation, to take on a new district that's better for the Democrats against an opponent of the caliber of Christy Vilsack.
Are you going to take that to the bank, Jerry?
We'll wait and see.
Okay. Gentlemen, there is an issue that affects both of those districts about which we've been talking about. Latham and Boswell will be talking about this. Vilsack and King will be talking about that. It is the Missouri River Corridor and the flooding that's gone on there. We had two votes in the U.S. House this week. And it's a muddled message that these candidates are going to take to the 2012 election. In the Latham-Boswell race, Latham voted for the bill that provided flood relief and also kept the government running. Boswell voted against it. Mr. Mahaffey, how will that vote play in that district?
Well, I think that vote will be helpful to Tom Latham. And you should, they both have ties to the agricultural community. Tom Latham's family's been involved in the seed business for many, many years. Tom Latham is Tom Latham has been in Washington, D.C. long enough. He's what I would call a traditional conservative. He understands that the government does have a role to play in matters such as this, and I think that vote will be of help to him in this congressional race.
Will it hurt Boswell?
I don't think that vote is going to be a focus in this race at all. I think that that nationally, the issue is going to become which side has the better narrative to create jobs and get our country and our economy back on track.
Steve King also voted against that bill. And Republicans sent out a news release from the Washington, D.C., criticizing Boswell for voting no, but not saying a thing about King.
Well, that was a Republican news release. If there had been a Democratic news release, it would have been, the opposite.
Let's switch a little bit here on presidential politics. What about the caucuses' relevance this time, Mr. Mahaffey?
I think the caucuses are still very important. I received a telephone call from a national political correspondent this week about the fact that the story is that Romney has decided he's going to play more here in Iowa. I think the relevancy of the caucus is still fairly strong. If Romney decides that he's going to spend more time here, I think it becomes even more interesting.
Mr. Mahaffey, I'd like to turn to that fully now. Handicap the Republican field for me.
At this point in time in Iowa, I would say if the caucuses were held tomorrow, Rick Perry probably would win. I think Ron Paul has the most fervent and intense supporters of anybody in the state of Iowa. Now, I don't think he's going to win the caucuses, but he keeps hanging in there in a fairly strong position, and I think he's in a position where, at this point, he could finish among the top three.
We're told that among the Republican field, Rick Perry and Mitt Romney are the leading contenders. One of them is likely to be the nominee, right, with Michelle Bachmann as kind of a wild card out there. Right. Is that an accurate assessment on your part?
Yeah, probably in Iowa. Michelle Bachmann has to do well here. She is not doing particularly well in national polls at the present time. She still has a chance to do better here in Iowa. You know, the thing about Rick Perry is he's the flavor of the month. The problem with being the flavor of the month, every time we've had a flavor of the month in the party, after that month is up, somebody's looking for a new flavor. There's a lot of interest in the Republican Party across this state and across this nation in getting somebody who can defeat Barack Obama. And that is the bottom line for most Republicans.
Mr. Crawford, let's go to you. First of all, assess the field. And then, two, can Barack Obama carry the state and win re-election? And make the case for that.
The first question about the Republican field is one of my favorites currently. This field is a disaster. They have no one in this field that can take a fight to Barack Obama, even though he's been struggling. If you look at Rick Perry, he gets worse every time he stands on a stage with his fellow candidates. He's a gaffe machine, and it's indicative of the fact that he got in late and has put this campaign together on the fly. And he has to live with what he wrote in his own book, calling Social Security unconstitutional and a Ponzi scheme. You've got Mitt Romney, recently referred to as a shiny plastic humanoid of a candidate. That guy's idea of a conviction is when somebody gets arrested for drunk driving. He stands for nothing. His own supporters from Iowa from 4 years ago aren't even for him.
Mr. Mahaffey,
let me give you one startling statistic. Since 1948, the number of months in America where the unemployment rate has been 9% or higher, over half of those months since 1948 have taken place during Barack Obama's administration. Whomever the Republican candidate is going to be able to take a fight to President Obama.
Aren't you going to have to deal with that at some point during the campaign?
Look, it's no question. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say that Barack Obama hasn't struggled, although I do think he's back up on his toes and off his heels as we sit here today. But setting that aside, in Iowa, his unfavorability rating has been too high. But he still beats all this Republican field by double digits. And I would suggest that Iowans know the Republican field better than anyone else in the country. They find them wanting. Bruce Rastetter should keep his jet fueled up and turned on and make regular trips to see Chris Christie and Mitch
Gentlemen,
Daniels.
Let's talk about the calendar. When are the caucuses to be held? Will they be held in the first week in January, Mr. Mahaffey?
They will be held whenever it means that we stay first in the nation. I think we're probably looking at January now. Hopefully we're not looking at before the
Mr. Crawford, that turned out well for both parties last time to have it the first week of January. People had time off between the holidays. They got really engaged. There was huge turnout. What's wrong with having it in the first week of January?
Well, I chaired the Clinton campaign, so I'm not sure how well it turned out for me. But setting that aside, this is a very simple question. Bill Gardner, the Secretary of State right. in New Hampshire, will ultimately set in around Thanksgiving time the date of the New Hampshire primary, and I will be sometime in the eight preceding days.
Right.
It's just that simple.
I don't think Mr. Crawford is going to endorse one of the Republican candidates. Mr.
No.
Mahaffey, do you intend to do so?
I have not at this time, and I don't know whether I will or not. Let me say one other thing about President Obama, though. The best thing he has going for him right now is that the last name of his opponent in 2012 will not be generic. Because if it were at this point, he'd be losing.
That's a very fair point, and it's the answer to Mike's question. Obama will win. He'll win Iowa. And the reason is it's not a yes or no referendum. He gets to run against a real live person, and if it's one of this bunch, please.
What role do you expect to play in that campaign?
I'll do anything they ask me to.
Mr. Mahaffey, what role do you expect to play in a Republican campaign?
I will support the Republican candidate. The stakes are very high this time, and I will do whatever is necessary to get him or her elected.
Yeah, we only have about 30 seconds left. You're known as a moderate Republican.
I am.
Are there any left?
There are three.
Yeah.
You and two of your friends. Have moderate Republicans just gone away?
They haven't. Some of them have become independents. More of them need to get out to the caucuses. More traditional Republicans could make a difference. And let me say this. I'm not so sure that the field is set. I think there's going to be at least one other person enter this race before the end of the year.
We're out of time. Thank you, Mike and Jerry.
Thank
Always
you.
A lively discussion, and I'm glad today we kept it nonpartisan. We'll be back next weekend with Iowa's 1st District Congressman, Democrat Bruce Braley, here at the Iowa Press table. You'll see Congressman Braley at the usual Iowa Press airtimes, 7:30 Friday night and 11:30 Sunday morning. I'm Dean Borg. Thanks for joining us today.
Archive editions of Iowa Press can be accessed on the World Wide Web. Audio and video streaming is available, as are transcripts, at www.iptv.org.
Funding for Iowa Press was provided by Friends, the Iowa Public Television Foundation, the Iowa Bankers Association for personal, business, and commercial needs. Iowa banks help Iowans reach their financial goals.